smu, tami asmachil. Naba na smu, tami dudachomol.
Every year, an original song in Manx is chosen to be performed in Ireland at the Pan-Celtic Festival, the Eurovision of the Celtic world, if you will. And this year marks the 20th Aran Son Manin, a song for man, which is the competition held on the island to choose the song to represent us at the Pan-Celtic. The 2026 event actually took place on Saturday, meaning this year's song was chosen just a few days ago. But more of that later. In order to celebrate two decades of the Song for Man, I gathered together some of the movers and shakers, those who've given their time and talents for all of those years to ensure our tiny nation is well represented at this huge festival. Fiona McArdle was a founder of the Aran Son Manin and ably ran it for many years. Nicola Toombs is on the committee that took over the organisation last year. Laura Rowles has entered and represented the island on several occasions. She can also boast being the writer of the only Manx Pan-Celtic winning song to date. And Manx Radio's own Bob Carswell has been involved with not only translating numerous songs into Manx for many of the songwriters, but has also been attending the Pan-Celtic in Ireland since the 1970s. So I began our roundtable discussion by asking him to explain to the uninitiated what it's all about.
Pan-Celtic Festival has been running since 1972, although it actually only became completely into Celtic in 1973. But from 1973 onwards, all the Celtic countries, the six Celtic countries who were represented at the Pan-Celtic Festival, put in a song, and there is a competition between those six songs to choose a song for the year. It used to be called the Celtavision Song Competition. At one time it used to be televised, but I think it got a little bit difficult. Was it going to be televised? Wasn't it going to be televised? So they changed it to the Pan-Celtic International Song Competition, which I think is probably sensible.
And what was your initial involvement? How did you get involved with it?
Initially, I went to the festival, the Pan-Celtic Festival, to take part in one of Mona Douglas's plays.
So at that time, it wasn't just music then?
Oh, the Pan-Celtic isn't just music at all. No. It's very wide-ranging festival. In fact, there's music and there's dance, there's plays, there's even golf as part of it.
There is indeed, yes.
How does golf fit in?
And camogie as well.
Well, like Camog.
Camog.
That's basically like Camog, yeah. So we'll come to you in a moment, Fiona, but I'm just intrigued to know from being those very early days then, but what was our first entry? Can you remember?
The first song that I remember was when I went back in 1975, and that was Christine Teer from Castletown, and she was only, I think, 17 at the time. Of course, she went on to become a great singer with a career in opera. But at that time, she was a 17-year-old schoolgirl, and she sang that song that was written by Baron Giovanelli and Mona Douglas, Sea Vision, and it's still a very strong song. I have a recording of it, which I have occasionally played on Clairnagale, but it is a good song, I think.
Mola's written tide on's kjol through
I think 1975 was the year in which a Breton band won it. I remember that particularly, being in at the Pan-Celtic and then going to this competition and seeing some of these people. Run Rigg were performing.
Wow.
They didn't win. Run Rig didn't win.
That says a lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like we are a very, very tiny contingent in comparison to some of these others that go. I mean, I'm assuming they have dozens of people that go and we have just a few. Is that right, Fiona? Do we only have sort of like a few?
It is indeed. Yeah. It is indeed. Yeah, we're very much smaller than... Even Cornwall seems to produce slightly more bands for something like Pan Celtic than we did. We're getting much better now, of course. We've always played above our level, I think, really. Not always won, but we've always done reasonably well. And we have gone consistently for the last 20 years, which is something that didn't really happen before because there were different people organising it and they fell by the wayside.
Can you remember your first involvement?
Oh, yes.
She said dramatically.
I was working at the Manx Museum at the time, and at reception they said, oh, somebody's just called with a packet for you. The packet was flyers for the Pan Celtic Festival in Tralee in 2005 and wanting me to organise it, the Manx entry. So, and yes, so I do remember quite well. Yeah. Well, there was no Arendse on Manon as such then, you know. We just had to cobble together a song, which we did.
And that was for the
2006. We didn't win that year, of course, needless to say. But it was good fun and an experience.
So what do you remember of the time at the competition itself? What was it like?
Oh, it was quite mind-blowing, really, the first one. Because there were, I think, 5 of the 6 Celtic countries involved in that particular one. And I remember the Cornish winning with a pop song. And yes, there were parades in the street. And yeah, it was great fun.
So it's obviously quite a big event, isn't it, by the sound of things?
It's a comparatively big event. It's not big like Lorient, which was founded in the same year, I think, really. But it's quite a big event, yes. And it's not that common in Ireland to find inter-Celtic festivals as such. Mm. Or Scotland, for that matter. And the 3 countries that were involved to start off with were the 3 big names, if you like. There was Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And then the smaller ones came in afterwards. It was after that first attempt in Tralee in 2005 that I decided we needed a competition because that's what all the others had. So we had to have a competition. And the Pan-Celtic has rules as well. You do need a subcommittee of 3. So we were the Manon branch and still are really nowadays with Nicola and Julie and Ailey as well. And it's usually been held in early to mid-January, ready for the Easter week of Pan-Celtic.
And you must have some lovely memories of Arendse on Manon having been at the very, very start of the whole thing.
Oh, I do. But not all. For radio, of course. But,
well, now I want to know what those are, obviously.
Well, I might tell you personally.
We'll talk later. What are some of the memories that you can broadcast then?
Well, the Pan Celtic always went round to the different cities and towns in Ireland who would take the festival and pay towards, obviously, it's running in their town. So it was really good in the early days to go round to different places every 2 years. Places like Tralee and Dingle and Donegal Town, Letterkenny springs to mind, I never went to the early ones in Killarney. They were supposed to go back there in 2021, and of course that was COVID, so we missed our slot there in and such a prime tourist area that we couldn't get back in.
Oh, what a shame.
I was sad. So in latter years, it's changed a bit because it's been in Carlow, but Carlow, under the direction of the lady called Breda, has done amazingly well. She was a nursery school teacher, Gaelic teacher in Carlow, which was a non-Gaelic speaking area. And she has really, really built up the support in the town for the Pan-Celtic Festival. So for the past few years, it's been there and it will be there again this year in 2026.
Thanks so much to everybody for coming out. It's been a lovely sunny day. So hopefully we'll get through the proceedings before it gets any too much colder. Míle buíochas mar a dúirt mé agus tamid ansa chun túsacháir le féle idirnáisiúnta pan-Celtic 2023, the official opening of the International Pan-Celtic Festival. Agus chun túsacháir mar a bhíon i gcónaí ag féle mar seo, we'll begin with our special anthem. It's the pan-Celtic national anthem. Cuirigh i fáilte raibh Páid Éigin Saoire agus anthem pan-Celtic.
So it will always happen in Ireland then? There's not a chance that something like this could come to the Isle of Man?
They have talked about it, but basically we couldn't really support a festival like that either. Mm.
They did talk about that in the very early years.
And again.
At one time, the international, I'm not sure it was president, the first, they decided they would have an international president, and the first international president they chose, they appointed, was Mona Douglas.
Oh.
But they had an international committee, and at one time, Fred McCauley was the chair, and he was in BBC in Scotland, and he did arrange for the BBC to come and cover the Celt Division as it was in those days. But at that time they were talking, back in the 1970s, they were talking about it moving round, perhaps going to the other Celtic countries, but in the end they decided that no, it would stay within Ireland.
Oh well, it would be lovely if it came here, but like you said, whether or not we could actually handle it is a different matter. And someone who's come on board fairly recently, we've got Nicola Toombs, who joined the sort of new committee that was formed last year. And it was your first time last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Fiona has been trying to tap me up for years to take on the mantle. And I know how hard Fiona works. And I was like, I don't think that's the job of one person. I think that's the job of at least three people. So Fiona and I also sit on an Cheshire Gilgach, the Manx Language Society Committee. So I said, well, because it's a song in the Manx language, why don't we bring it under the kind of command of the Manx Language Society in Cheshire Gilgach, and we'll do it as a group of people instead of just me doing it. So there's myself and Julie Matthews and Ailey Sheard on a little pan-Celtic subcommittee of Cheshire Gilgach, yeah. Last year I did it by myself because, unfortunately, it's always in the week following Easter, and with it being a movable feast, sometimes it's really late in the year and the children go back to school right after Easter Monday, which is what happened last year. So last year it was outside of the school holiday, so that so I did it alone last year because the other two members were both working in full-time education, so that was, they weren't able to come with me, but they're coming this year. So then in the future, that kind of makes us a bit more of a robust committee, and so any one of us three could go in the future. So hopefully we won't have any patchiness where nobody can manage to arrange it to go. There'll be one of the three of us that'll be able to go. So that's really good. It was a baptism of fire, I have to say. So I went to a committee meeting and I met all of the other representatives from the other Celtic nations, and you start to get a little bit of a, like, behind the curtain look at what's going on and who's happy about the fact that staying in Carlo and who maybe would like to travel around a little bit. But from my limited experience of helping with Cruinjacht, I can totally understand why they want to stay in one place, because they've built up a really lot of goodwill in Carlo, with Carlo County Council support them very, really well. And a lot of the pubs and shops and businesses really support the festival. So they have all of these pop-up-y gigs and, you know, fringe events. For us coming from the Isle of Man, it's not too bad to get there either. It's only a couple of hours on a comfortable coach from the airport. So
what was it like? Was it sort of like an assault to the senses, or what was it like?
Oh, it's great. I got in really late and we saw the end of the opening concert, which we'd not actually participated in because we hadn't been able to get there in time and get a big enough side, a big enough kind of contingent to go with it being outside of the school holidays. I met up with some Bretons that I already knew and we had a bit of a fesnoz, and the Irish people were like, how do you know what this Breton song is? I was like, oh, well, I think that's the real magic of being part of a smaller Celtic nation, is you do look a little bit more outwards to the other Celtic nations for your influences, whereas maybe when you're a part of a bigger Celtic nation like Wales or Ireland, you are very well, you know, versed in your own nation's kind of cultural history, but maybe aren't, not so much with the smaller ones. So that's a really good thing about the Pan-Celtic. It gives the smaller nations like the Isle of Man a shop window to say, well, look at us, we've got amazing performers. I called a few dancers, I had them up doing some Manx dancing. I went to a language workshop and we were having a bit of a chat about the similarities, and they were like, oh, I didn't even know there was Manx on. And then they're like, oh, you're just talking Irish, you know, when you start talking to them, because they hear the similarities. Like, oh, yeah. So it's really good for the Isle of Man to have that shop window to the other wider Celtic nations. And then it's already spawned like friendships and visits. So there was a Welsh group that I met last year and they enjoyed the Manx dancing that they did, and they contacted me and said, oh, we want to come to the Isle of Man, and they've come over. So yeah, that it's just part of that international cooperation and friendship. Having been there myself, I've learned that you don't really want to pick what you personally think is the nicest song or the song that you've enjoyed the best. What we're looking for is the one that has the chance of doing best at the Pan-Celtic. So if people don't win, it's not really a reflection of the fact that we don't rate their song. It's more what we think has the best chances of doing well at the Pan-Celtic. Last year, the act that won were a very modern, angry, feisty Welsh rock band. So, and it was awesome. They were really good. But they were against very traditional Breton song. Our entry was a really beautiful song, and the Irish song was just one solo voice as well. But this massive Welsh wall of sound was so... But again,
impressive it was, really, wasn't it?
It was impressively big. It was a big wall of noise, and I think it just blew everybody away. But the judging was really interesting as well, because I was chatting to I was one of the judges. It was really horrible pressure because we it's in alphabetical order, so Manon, we go last, and you're holding up your paddle saying what your score is, but you've already written down your score and given it in an envelope to the judges, so that decision's already been made. And I had like three rows of really excited Welsh people turning round looking at me like pleadingly, like as if to say please. And I thought their song was really good, but I'd actually given the Bretons a higher score because I thought the Bretons are amazing, and you don't vote for your own country, of course. But yeah, I was like quite terrified, actually. But the Welsh judge told me afterwards, they thought, I thought for sure Manon were going to win. I was blown away by that song and by the voice of your entrant. So it's
just told you it wasn't what they
did. That was Rob Middleton and Sue Harrison with Turek. Their act was called Turek, and Sue sung the most beautiful song. It was based on the stones, the Celtic stones, and the stories that you can see in the stones, and sort of a magical being able to touch the stones and visualise the stories that are on the stones. But Sue's got an amazing voice. They're both really great musicians. And the Welsh judge was like, he voted Manon Hyatt. He was like, I thought for sure you were just going to walk off with it. And it's quite a subjective thing, really. Yeah,
it is. It also has to be said, we know the Irish love their Eurovision. It's kind of similar, and political voting does happen in the Pan-Celtic.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Maybe not so much now, but definitely in the
less
past.
Less now.
Yeah, but in the past, it would be like countries would vote for their favourite country, not necessarily the song.
It's very Eurovision-like.
And Bob, the important thing about this, especially in this year, Blair na Gaeilge, is the fact that it is Manx language, that the songs have to be in the Manx language. And you've been involved in the translations for some years for this, haven't you?
Yes, going back over a number of years. I did actually write some songs which I did sing at the festival. Not very well, it has to be said. It was one of those things, at that time, I think it rather felt that there weren't many people with either an interest in the Manx language or were actually producing songs in the Manx language. So it was really, if you'd written something, well, you were more or less, you had to do it yourself because nobody else was going to do it. So I did sing a couple of songs in the competition in the early days. But yes, it's interesting when people have written a song perhaps in English and they want to enter it into the competition, and so they're looking for a translation into Manx. And it's quite interesting from the point of view of, obviously, what you can say in English. The construction of the English language is quite different. So to try to convey that meaning and to try to get somewhere near the same rhythm is quite a challenge at times, but it's an interesting challenge.
And I'm guessing that over more recent years, because more and more people are now speaking Manx, that you've had more entries that are coming in that are actually in the Manx language to start with.
We have had gradually more, certainly, but not a staggering quantity, let's put it that way, because it's not just writing the actual words, it's the music as well, and sometimes the translation too. It's a big task, really, and then, you know, it's getting up there and performing it too without looking at the words, preferably.
And really, we are a tiny nation in comparison to these other nations, and so it's quite the achievement for us, really. I mean, how do we stand up against these other nations? How have we stood up over the years?
Well, the Welsh seem to do rather well, let's put it that way, but then they should do.
Well, yes, it's a larger nation and they're very much geared up to it. Their competition is called Cáin I Gcumhrí, and it's held, the BBC runs it every year, and in fact one year I think they had six instalments where they whittled it down to six songs to take part in the final, and then they choose a song. In fact, probably for the Welsh, winning Cáin I Gcumhrí is probably bigger than winning the Pan-Celtic International Song Competition itself, because it's televised in Wales. It gets a lot of coverage from the BBC, so it really is, from their side, it's a huge annual event.
And a lot of prize money. I think the prize money for the Welsh heat is more than the actual Pan-Celtic prize money, so it's a big incentive.
I can see. Well, let's come to you now, Laura, because you are someone who has entered it several times and is the Manx winner to date, fingers crossed. There will be other winners of Pan-Celtic from the Isle of Man. I think it might happen in the times to come. So what sort of genres have you written in? Is it a different sort of genre each time, or what have you produced for the song competition?
The first time we entered was with Dave McLean. So we did a song, wrote a song with Dave, which I think was probably kind of more of a folk song. And then by going and watching kind of which songs did well, I started writing songs that I thought had a chance based on that, which are kind of probably more pop style, I would say. And it's quite nice writing kind of more pop songs in the Manx language, because it's different to what I would usually do. So I think most of them have been a bit more kind of pop-based. Usually me and Dave, my husband, have written the songs. I wrote one a couple of years ago, which we didn't win a Rensong Manor with, but I wrote that with my daughter, Cara. So I have written with other people, but then we've always gone kind of put a band together to go and perform it at the Pan-Celtic.
So tell us about the winning song then.
Okay, so it's 2014 that we won, which is a long time ago now, isn't it? So we are definitely due another win, I think. And we originally wrote the song, it was about my daughter, Cara. And at the time, my husband was travelling a lot. He's a sound engineer, so he was away touring. And he'd be away for kind of 3 months at a time. So the song was really about how now he has a new baby. He doesn't want to be away from home. So it's called Tommy Tai, which is Bring Me Home. So it was just kind of writing about how even if you're far away from home, there's always ties that are bringing you back. So we went and performed it. We took two of our students. Michelle Jameson sang it and Fraser Grant was on bass, and then Dave played guitar and I was on keys. It seemed like it was a big hyped up festival that year. They had a big Spiegel tent that we got to perform in as well. And people like Kappa Kaylee were playing there. So it was a big deal. And the competition, it was a good competition. I mean, all of the songs I thought were great. It's very Eurovision, and each of the judges gives their score out of 12 and kind of flashes up on the board, and you have to wait and see if you'd won. And I think we got straight 12s apart from one 10 from one judge. It was great.
That must have felt extraordinary, with all of those people there and thinking, we did it!
Yeah, it was. I think that was the second time I'd entered. We came second the first time, and then this time we won. So yeah, it was an amazing feeling, and it was one of those performances where everything just went right and we all kind of performed to our best, and the sound engineers there were brilliant and we had great sound, and it was just a perfect moment, really. It was brilliant.
Well, I think we should hear it then. So do you want to introduce it for us, Laura?
Okay, so the band was called Shen Skull, which means old school, and the song is Tarn Me Tai, Bring Me Home.
Thank you.
That was Tarn Me Tai, which is so far the only winning entry from the Isle of Man to the Pan-Celtic competition. But we're talking all about it on this special programme because Arain Son Manin, the competition on the Isle of Man that feeds into Pan-Celtic, is 20 years old this year. So we've gathered some of the movers and shakers, shall we say, from the competition. And Laura and Dave Rowles wrote that song. It's a really beautiful piece. How was it received on the Isle of Man, Laura, when you came home having won it? Were people outside of the Manx community aware?
I mean, I think so. I remember being in the airport and kind of Manx radio ringing us up and the papers as well. So at the time, there was quite a lot said about it. And we've always had a great response. It's been performed in kind of competitions. I know since I've had people from outside the island as well. So I had someone from Wales who'd heard the song emailed, tracked me down and asked me for the music for it. So it has gone a bit further than the island as well.
And it's actually something that has inspired you, this whole thing, because you're actually compiling a songbook, aren't you?
I am. So I've just got funding from Culture Bannon to do a songbook of all the definitely all the Arain Son Manin winners. And also sometimes we send a song to the traditional song competition as well. And those songs have done really well historically. We've won that competition quite a few times. So they're going to be included too. So it's just trying, we've had so many great songs written and it just felt like they were being written and then forgotten about a lot of the time. So I wanted to do this book for quite a while, and I've talked to Fiona about it quite a lot, and Nicola, to kind of archive them, but also try and get the songs performed more regularly as well, because there are some really beautiful songs, and Bob's going to be my Manx translator as well, and Manx editor, to make sure the Manx is spot on.
Oh, that's brilliant. Because Bob, this is such an important thing, isn't it, for the Manx language, to be able to take these creations that are in Manx and perform them to an international audience at the end of the day.
Yes, it is a great opportunity, I think, and it does mean that the Manx language is being put on an even footing with the other Celtic languages and so on. So I think it's it gives it prominence. It gives it an importance. It's a pity, in a way, that over the years, perhaps, we haven't made a point of recording these songs. Apart from anything else, we could have had them recorded and played on as part of Manx Radio's programming, and that would certainly have raised its profile within the island, at least. But yeah, unfortunately, that's not been possible in the past. But it's something to think of for the future, I think.
So, do you see anything sort of changing in the future with regards to the Isle of Man's involvement or how we approach it? Because you know, you're sort of the new blood, I guess.
I think it's a bit early to say. I'm quite committed that we'll always be able to send an entry there. Sometimes we do struggle for entrance into the Arain Son Manin because people know that the competition is going to be at a time of year that is really difficult for them. So when it's too late in April, it clashes with the guild, and so many people who might be likely to enter it are involved in the guild, or they're teaching in a school and it's outside of the school holidays. So we'd like to empower more people to enter and write songs and not be so afraid of the fact that they might just be a beginner or an intermediate Manx speaker. They might feel like, oh, I can't sing a song in Manx. Like, I'm not a fluent Manx speaker. I haven't been speaking Manx for 20 years. You know, that imposter syndrome that I think a lot of people feel. We just want to empower people to enter and get as many entries as possible. Because even if they don't win, even if they write a song and perform it at the Arain Son Manin, that's an amazing experience. And then we're adding to the corpus of Manx songs that are out there that Laura's collecting, that, like Laura says, you know, you'll then find, you'll go to a gig down the road somewhere and somebody's singing one of your songs that you've written. So that's all good. It's all good for Manx culture. It's all good for the Manx language and Manx music. Anyone who's, you know, keen to do a performance, and learning a bit of Manx. My month to
end. Look at me like that.
I am looking at you. I am looking at you. It is an unbelievably brave thing to do, and I'm not saying it's easy or taking that away from anyone who's entered. We want to be able to offer support and help, and obviously Bob's always been great to do the translations for people, so people haven't had to write it in Manx, which I think is an amazing amount of work that Bob's done.
Bob's translated all my songs. And I always say, like, we give Bob something and he always makes it better. Every single time, it's a real skill. And yeah, and Fiona's translated quite a lot of songs as well, haven't you?
I have, yes, in the past.
There's a lot of help there. I mean, there have been lots of people who've entered who don't speak any Manx, mm-hmm. and have just written a song in English and had it translated and then have learnt it. It is really a competition for everybody.
And what a wonderful thing as a songwriter to then say, actually, I've got my song in two different languages.
Yeah.
What would you each say to try and encourage someone? What do you think, why should people enter this, the Arensol Man, in order to potentially get to the Pan-Celtic? Why do you think they should think about it?
I think most people think about it as a chance to go to Ireland and take part in the Pan-Celtic Festival. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is prize money, considerably more than Arensol Man in itself offers. but we're very grateful to Culture Vannin for that, for the support they've given all these years for the competition. But people do want to go away and they do want to perform before other audiences. And that's the good part of it. And they, as Nicola says, they meet people, they become friends, and then there's more into Celtic, going to festivals, which can only be a good thing. I'd just like to say as well that when the raffle has been really good at Arensol Man and made a lot of money, that there has sometimes been another smaller prize offered for the best a new song in traditional style. And we've had some good entries in that, and winners too, from the Isle of Man. People like Marlene Hendy have won. Matt Creer won with his band 1 year. Margaret and Paul Kringle won with one which is a favourite of the Manx musicians nowadays, which is Alden River in English. So yes, that's been a success too, but it depends on the finances and
yeah,
so on.
And interestingly, you talk about the traditional style, as you were saying, Nicola, you know, it sounds like anything goes now. If that Welsh group were going to win it last year, presumably, you know, you would invite rock bands and all sorts of people to take part.
Yeah. It says any genre, mm-hmm. so, and it means it.
Mm-hmm. It just has to be a new song that's been written that year specifically for the Pan-Celtic, and it does state in the rules that it has to be a competitive entry.
And obviously, Laurie, you're taking part again, but if you were to give some advice to a songwriter out there of how they might want to approach it, what would you say?
The reason I enter is because everyone's busy and I need kind of a goal. So for me, it's always been a goal to keep being creative and to write new material. Mm. So I would say what's been echoed, I mean, what I love about the Manx language is that it's a living tradition now, and we've got, especially with the Bond School kids and all the music that's being written there, it's a living tradition that needs new music and new lyrics. So you can basically do whatever you want, whatever style, whatever instrumentation, any subject matter, it's all good. You've got such a wide scope, you can do whatever you want. And there are amazing opportunities in performing, and then if you win, on going to the Pan-Celtic Festival.
Which sounds like quite the experience. So how would people enter for next year, Nicola?
So we start to advertise it in the summer, and then the entries close at the beginning of December, so we have time to sort things out. And it's an online entry, so in all of our adverts we have a little QR code, and that will bring people to the entry form, or they can always contact us at Ntjerzhik Gilgach or via Facebook, Ntjerzhik Gilgach via Facebook, and they'll be able to find us there. So, you know, we're not going to tell people they can't enter if they can't access the QR code. It's all fine, you know. Like Laura says, I would welcome any entries. So a lot of people have this notion that a song in Manx must be like a trad song, like folk song. It's not the case at all. If anybody has been inspired by Kneecap and wants to rap about the Isle of Man and Manx politics, then we'd be happy to have them.
We've got Manx raps in the Bun School all the time.
You know, jazz, or whatever they want to do. I'd just love to see, encourage more musicians to participate. It doesn't have to be in that trad style that people kind of more associate with the Manx language. So, yeah.
Well, 20 years on for Rensson Manin and much longer for the Pan-Celtic competition and our entries into it. It's been fascinating hearing all about it. Guramayu for telling us about it. And I should say Egvaiolia to everyone that's actually taking part. And fingers crossed, you never know, we might have a winning entry this year. Let's hope. Good luck, Laura.
Thank you.
And I'll look forward to your entry in the future,
next year.
Yeah. No pressure.
I knew you were looking at me weirdly.
You may remember at the start of this programme I mentioned that this year's Rensson Manin competition happened just a few days ago. Phil Gorn was there.
I'm Cara Rolls.
Laura Rolls.
And I'm Dave Rolls.
And collectively you are...
Sian Scull.
And you've just won the Rensson Manin competition. Laura, I think you wrote the song, did you?
Yeah, I wrote most of it, yeah. A little bit of help from Dave. And Bob Carswell translated it as well. Well, some of it. I wrote some of it in Manx and some in English.
And Dave, what's your input into this?
No, I mean it's a family effort, really. But I'm generally quite good at coming up with random lyrics and filling in blanks and generally augmenting what's there. So it's we jointly wrote the song. So
you were singing and playing the violin and doing it exceptionally well.
Thank you.
So were you nervous this evening?
I'm normally not nervous to sing, but I get nervous when I play violin. Mm.
Tell us about the song, Laura.
So it started off, I had this idea thinking about connections and all the traditions on the island. So I was thinking about how Cara and lots of other Bun School children had been taught by Annie Kizzuk, and how then Annie had been taught by Mona, and Mona was influenced by Sophia Morrison, and she was influenced by the Victorian collectors. And we've got this kind of almost continuous tradition going back of passing down our culture and our traditions. So the song was mainly about how we're surrounded by all these influences, and we're then passing them on to the next generation as well, hopefully. So it's about how Manx culture and Manx music, song, dance, language is all part of us, and we're trying to keep it going and do our part, really.
And you've been to Carlo before, but that's effectively what winning a Rensson Manin, the song for the Isle of Man, means.
We'll go, we'll play our song. Yeah, one of us will win. I mean, we were incredibly lucky to win before. So, I mean, hopefully we can repeat that.
We're nervous?
Not really. Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, jint amai the whole yfaic, well done.
Gyrraedd.
Gyrraedd.
with many thanks to all of the contributors to this programme. You can listen to a longer podcast at manxradio.com. Just look for the Island Life section. Gurumai Mora Song Eishak as He Moo. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
Thank you.